Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 164. My name is Christopher Keough, and I am here with Travis Baum.
What's up?
And Jeff kind of bailed on us today because he was meeting up with one of his old friends. So Jason is joining us last minute. How you doing, Jason?
Hello, people.
And it was very last minute. We were actually going to have Rob from the Game Crashers on, and turns out he had some work he had to finish up, so he couldn't join us. But be prepared. We will be having him on soon. We like that guy, so we want him to come join us. But Jason is happily filling in. Hopefully he's
happy. Luckily I was set up for this. So I've had some equipment failures in the past week or two, and I asked Chris earlier on Google if he wanted me to record stuff or if I could just use a headset. I just wanted to use a headset so I didn't have to deal with this, but luckily I was set up. So.
Well, I appreciate you joining us last minute.
And I have enough alcohol. That was a deciding factor.
I'm
in good shape. Let's do
this. Well, if you're going to put up with me and Travis, you need enough alcohol.
Right.
Oh. Cool. Well, let's do this, man. Travis, what's up?
Let's see. It was the Battle and Brew last night. It was the first time I went to Battle and Brew without you or Jason there.
Oh, wow.
Really?
It was a freeing experience.
A freeing experience.
No, I went up a buddy of mine that I used to live I used to room with back in Biloxi, Mississippi. He's funny enough the only roommate I ever had that I didn't end up hating in the end. Like, he's the only person that I live with that, like, okay, well, this guy's pretty cool still. But he moved up to Marietta a little while back, and I was like, well, dude, we're going to hit up Trivia Battle and Brew, so why don't you meet us up there? So I haven't seen him in a few years. So he came up with his girlfriend. We hung out with our usuals, Chris and Serena, did some trivia.
Oh, so they did come up?
Yeah, they came up, had a good time with us.
Okay, cool.
Drank a little too much than I was supposed to, but that's okay. That's what Battle and Brew's for.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, so got to keep Sean's bills paid.
So. You got to keep that boy in business.
That's right. So I
his singing
drinking.
Job on the side isn't doing it. So
yeah, that's right. He'll be turning tricks at the Chevron across the street until he gets told to
fuck
move.
Fuck those guys.
Parking attendant.
Yeah. Valet. Anyway, that's it for me. Jason, what's up, dude?
Not too much, man. Busy. That's really all I can say. Yeah. Got
busy. We didn't stream Tuesday.
Yeah.
That was depressing. That hurt my feelings. You were
sick,
dude.
There was a hole in my heart.
I was not feeling good, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to get shit set up in time. So I'm just like, you know what? Real life comes first. We'll just do it tomorrow.
Agreed.
And then I posted a tweet saying, oh, yeah, we're good. We're going to do it tomorrow. And then my wife, Lisa, reminded me that we had a dinner with her family the next night. So I'm like, oh, crap.
That's all right. You're feeling better, though. That's the important part, right?
Yeah, much.
That's
I'm
the important
shape.
Part. Dude.
I'm fine, but not too much going on. Work's a little slow, starting to pick up. Still loving it over there, and yeah, good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, not a whole lot over here. I kind of hinted at, there's one kind of geeky thing I want to talk about real quick. I kind of hinted at it last week when I said that I think it was last week, said I got a new stereo for my car. And the whole reasoning was because, you know, my car is 10 years old and my CDs were starting to skip. So it was time to replace that bad boy. So I went out and I found this little head unit. It only cost me like $130 or something like that. And it had HD radio. You know, obviously CD player, did MP3, had an auxiliary port, and it did Bluetooth. Ooh. So, I finally installed the sucker over the weekend, and I can now, stream music and podcasts and all that stuff from my phone, to my stereo via Bluetooth. So that's really fucking cool.
That's like ghetto nerd, man. Bro nerd. Nice work.
I've been enjoying it so far, man. It's been nice to like not have to worry about, you know, switching CDs and being able to mix up the variety of in the music and stuff like that. And you know, I had a 4-disc changer in my other stereo, but the 4 discs, you know, if you don't want to change them all the time, it gets kind of old. So glad to be hitting up the MP3s right now, I guess.
Oh yeah, welcome to Y2K, buddy.
Yeah, whatever. My car is 10 years old, leave it alone. But yeah, that's about it for me, man. You know, just trying to get through the week. That's how it goes. But we did get some incredible, you know, good news that helped me get through the last day. And we'll get to that later. First, we got to talk about what we're playing. So, Travis, why don't you lead us off?
All right. Well, the only thing that I've been playing is Dead Space 2.
Ooh, tell me.
What do you think, man?
I picked this bad boy on day one, and I'm just going to drop it on you. This game, and I don't like saying this word very much because we make fun of it a lot, but this game is absolutely amazing, without a doubt. Like, Little Big Planet was fun. I really dug it, but I brought it back to Blockbuster, and my heart didn't hurt at all, one bit. But Little Big Planet.
Because
I brought it back, and I got Dead Space on the rental with my Game Pass at Blockbuster. And it's just, my mind's blown. I love this game.
You gonna buy it?
You know what? Probably so. And I'll get to the reason why.
On the cheap or something?
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Maybe like $10 less or something. Oh, or maybe if it drops on GameStack at like $40 in a couple of weeks, I'll probably pick it up then as well. But
dude, you are digging on that GameStack, bro.
It's hot, man.
Yeah.
Good buyback prices. But anyway, Dead Space 2, man. Okay. They have done things with Dead Space 2 on paper. I would tell you I would not like it. I would not like the changes they've made. The game's faster. There's less emphasis on exploration. You're traveling more on a linear path and just going along, you know, pretty much in that line that the game's, you know, kind of making you go to. And I'm like, ooh, I don't kind of like that, because unlike some other people, I kind of dug the exploration and the backtracking in Dead Space 1, because you kind of get a feel every chapter, and you're on different levels of the Ishimura. You get to kind of learn the ship, and it's like, okay, well, I know exactly where I'm going here. You know, sometimes you don't even have to pull out your locator to find out where to go next, because you've been in this for about, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. You just kind of know. Well, to where with this, you're just going forward. And most of the time, there's a couple instances where you'll go back into the main room that you're, you know, previously shooting around in. But for the most part, 90% of the game, you're just going straight forward. You know, so that kind of made me go, oh, man, I don't know. I kind of like that backtracking feel, that feeling of exploring a space. It works for Dead Space. It completely works. Because Dead Space 1 kind of put it, you know, explained early that, you know, we're not really going for survival horror, much less as like kind of like a horror action game. And they really emphasize that in this one, because even with Isaac's movements, like, you kind of just tilt the left stick forward just a little bit, and he still like fires ahead. Like, there's no more creeping and crawling. Like, he's just on a mission. But the one thing that did not change, which thankfully, from the last game, is the combat. The combat is still as solid as ever. A lot of returning weapons, like the plasma cutter and pulse rifle, the line gun and everything. And then they add a couple of new ones and everything, which is really great. Like, it's like I said, it's untouched. If you play Dead Space 1, love the combat, it is back, and you're going to get another 10 to 12 hours of just more solid combat. Let's see. We all know that the first Dead Space was beautiful. It's just a really good-looking game.
That would be correct.
This game is a little different. Well, it still looks great, don't get me wrong. But instead of just being on like a smaller ship where everything kind of looks the same and you go into the same tram station over and over again, you go into the same areas, this takes place in this huge city called the Sprawl. So, you know, you're going. It's different for the Dead Space series, because now you're going through like schools and hospitals and residential areas, apartment buildings and whatnot, and there's government areas and whatnot.
Really?
So so there's so much more to look at. And let me tell you what about this game. Like, the attention to detail and just the smallest area, like places that you wouldn't think there would be, you know, much detail, like a random apartment building that you can walk into, like pictures everywhere. Tables have like etchings and scratching. The school like has like kids writing on the wall. Like every square inch of this game has been fine tuned graphically. The aesthetics are beautiful. And this, for something that's so bloody and gory, it's really a sight to see.
I've read like 3 reviews on this game, and I haven't heard anything about the different environments. That's cool to know.
Yeah, I like it. It's pretty cool. I think Dead Space lends itself pretty well to being kind of like in a city and not just like, you know, confined to the one ship the entire game. Mm-hmm. The game has, like I said, they kind of emphasize more of like the horror action game, and a good actually a really good example is Alien versus Aliens, where Alien was kind of like on one ship and you're just kind of like fighting that one monster, that one threat, and the people are trying to group together. And then the second one kicked it into high gear, action movie, you got Space Marines, you got all this stuff and everything. It's kind of like a more open area. And that's very similar, you know, here as well, because they add some awesome action set pieces that I even think would rival what Uncharted 2 did. There's one set piece in particular that I think blows away anything Uncharted did. It's really, really cool. And you kind of got a taste of that last E3 when they were showing off the E3 videos. And then, like, in terms of, like, goriness and everything and tension, there are even some really, really tense moments that are even, like, I think last year, probably the most, like, gut-wrenching moment in a video game was the scene in Heavy Rain where, spoilers, where you had to cut your finger off. And that's a really hard moment to kind of, you know, play and watch at the same time. There's a moment in Dead Space 2 toward the end that, like, blows that away. And you almost have to fail on purpose the first time just to get the full effect of how horrible the situation Isaac is in. And you probably will fail the first time, and then, or like me, fail three times until you get it right. But it's quite a situation. Trying to see like what else there is to talk about. Like, Isaac's no longer that silent protagonist too. And that's what something I really, really dig. Cause you know me, I'm like a story whore and I like characters and stuff. And, they give Isaac a little more character. He has a voice. There's a lot of inner monologue, because he's kind of, you know, a little fucked up in the head after the events of the last game. And there's some really, really cool moments that are presented to you, but it kind of left me, I can't say anything too deep without spoiling anything, but I like where they were going, but I think it could have been a little more poignant. Like toward the end, it's like, okay, this is all coming to a head. And at the end, I think it kind of fell flat. I don't know. But yeah, but the game is great. Like I said, the attention to detail is awesome. A testament to the detail. The staff that made this game was so damn big. While we were on Skype and Chris and I were kind of like getting prepared for the show, I had just beaten Dead Space and the credits were rolling. The team is so massive and so big that worked on this game. My controller died disconnected three times during the credits.
What is like, that's like big, 5 minutes, right? It takes 5 minutes for that to happen.
Yeah, they have a South American team, a team in Toronto, a team in Quebec. They have a team in somewhere in South America. I mean, they have like teams everywhere working on this game. And it was a blast. Like, I'm glad I finished it. I burned through it in like 2 days. And the last thing I'm going to say about it, there's replay value in this one, where there really wasn't that much in the last one. They kind of had a New Game Plus, but you couldn't really carry over a lot of your stuff. And New Game Plus and Dead Space 2, you carry over every weapon that you've already collected, every outfit, and every single upgrade that you've already done. Your items, your money, everything carries over because they want you to kind of test yourself and start the game all beefed out and test yourself on like higher difficulty levels, because there's certain achievements, you know, for higher difficulties. And there's even like a hardcore mode, but this is probably the most hardcore, like extreme difficulty mode that I've ever heard. Like, you have to go through the entire game. Of course, there's like the least amount of ammo you can find. It's like pretty much like one or two hit kills from all the enemies. Ouch. And there are no checkpoints.
No checkpoints
whatsoever. And you only have 3 saves.
Fuck.
Yeah, so that's not the version of the game that I'll be playing.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, the way New Game Plus works and how beefed up you are just starting out the game, I kind of want to try it.
So you can do it with New Game Plus? You don't have to necessarily start a fresh game?
Yeah, New Game Plus, it starts you from the beginning.
Well, yeah, of course.
But I just, you know, kind of reflecting back to the game when I played it the last couple of days, I already have a pretty good idea of where I would want those 3 saves.
Gotcha.
Because okay. there's some pretty like impossible moments where you're probably going to die. So, yeah, I don't know. I might try it. I might not. Because there's nothing else really big coming out in the next few weeks. So, because I'm definitely going to be playing more of this game. And that's saying a lot for a single player 10-hour adventure. Like with Uncharted, I usually want to play. I'm sure Jason feels exactly the same way. After I play Uncharted, I may want to play it like again in like maybe 6 months to a year. But I want to go right back through this game and play it again, whether it's on hardcore or just a harder difficulty in general. So that says a lot about a single player, 10-hour action game. You never want to go right back into it.
Yeah,
you're kind of ready to move on to the next.
Okay.
So it was pretty great. So A+. I love it.
A+. All right.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I've played, though. So okay, I'll pass cool. it on to Jason.
Jason, what you got?
Oh, sadly, I do not have too much. From the last time I was on the show a few weeks ago, for real. Lockdown with projects and such. Speaking of Dead Space, I did finally boot that up, the original game, on the PC, which does look amazing. And
I bet.
It's very fun with mouse keyboard controls. I even tried it with, just like a standard 360 controller as well. And I love how games nowadays, they like anticipate that you're using a 360 controller. And they'll just completely just remap everything to that, so you don't have to deal with any configuration or anything.
Wow, that's really nice.
Pretty badass. But, that was fun, scary, and I'm kind of a pussy, and I stopped playing it. It was kind of late at night, and it was dark out. But aside from that, let's talk about Uno. Motherfucking Uno.
Tell me about Uno.
I have that on four different platforms now.
Yeah, you do. Xbox Live, PSN. What else you got?
The PSN version, the PSP version, and then an Android version.
There's an Android version.
Oh, it's on Android now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I've got Ford.
How much is that?
I'm going out to the market right now.
Yeah, I might have to get it right now. How much
is it
on Android?
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, it says multiplayer. I haven't tried it, though, because, I don't have many friends that are, like, that into Uno, so...
Dude, I'll play Uno with you online. Shit.
Hell yeah.
I love Uno, man.
Motherfucker, you do not want to play Uno with me.
Oh, don't bring it.
I talk trash to the computer all the time. Lisa thinks that I should be like a stream of like $3.
Yes.
That would be hilarious.
$3. That's not bad.
How much? What was it, Chris?
$3.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to buy that.
There you go. And actually, I prefer the Android version over the PSP version, like the minis version.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot faster.
Hmm.
Okay. How do you call Uno? Like, is this a screen press? Well,
button. Obviously, with Android, there's a screen press. On the PSP, I think it's like the left bumper thing.
Yeah, yeah. I have it on 360, and you push like X or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I find it very clunky on the Xbox. Like, I've never gotten comfortable calling Uno or trying to challenge someone on the Xbox, like pressing face buttons. So maybe doing it on the screen will be a little better, because I will buy this game. So
it's fast, snappy. Okay, that's enough about Uno for real. Wow. what other nerdy shit have I done? Chris, did you talk about the nerdy shit that we've been doing lately?
I haven't, because we just did it Friday and we recorded the day before.
Well, we're getting a run back this Friday.
That's true.
Chris and I picked up some Magic cards. Like actual physical Magic cards. And we played the game.
We nerded out.
We did. It was fun. We're keeping it very low key.
Yeah. Definitely not making it like super competitive. It's like we all have just like theme decks, and it's all from the same set. So, it's easy to keep it. An even playing field, and then we just like on Friday we played two games and we swapped decks on the second game, so we just moved things around. So it
totally
was pretty cool,
fun, non-competitive. There's no feelings hurt if your deck loses. Because when you get into Magic, it's like you spend all this money on all these fucking cards, and you just sit up at night and you think of these deck combinations. It's like, oh my god, I need three more of these to be awesome. And you put those in, you get your ass kicked, and then your feelings get hurt. And there's none of this now.
Well, let me interject here, because I've gotten a little secret info about Chris. I hear Chris is super, super competitive at Magic the Gathering.
Not, extremely competitive.
Not really.
Yeah, he is.
Not really.
I hear you
yeah,
get
he
pretty don't, salty.
Yeah, he can get very, very salty. When
and then when you win, you talk mad shit.
What?
I don't know. I don't know if he talks mad shit.
I don't.
But he gets really
I don't talk
mad.
Shit. I don't ever talk shit, dude. I am not a right. shit talker.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, if things are not going his way, expect the table to get slammed a few times there.
I'm just salt flying everywhere.
It's true. It's true. But yeah, because we did this a few years ago. I want to say, started playing Magic, and you know, everybody just like got totally into it. Chris totally got into it. Just
yeah,
like,
it was that period, like when the 360 had just come out, but I didn't get one because there weren't any games on it I wanted, and PS2 was on a slump. It didn't really have any games that I wanted, so I was on a huge gaming slump. So I started playing Magic. One of my roommates played it, and you know, I sat down and he taught me how to play, and
he didn't fall in the tiger trap. He like, you know,
I dove head
first.
He
put a stake in his mouth and he dove head first.
I dove head first.
Perfectly.
I had an easy in, unfortunately for me, because the game store that I used to work at was going out of business, and they had like a bunch of like leftover old set booster packs, and they just dumped them on me for $1 each.
So, ooh, fire sale.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's
when we lost Chris.
Yeah.
And then I think Magic weeklies lasted like 2 weeks after that.
No, that went on for months, dude. What are you talking about?
I think it was pretty much done for
you.
A lot of people.
It was, but there were other people that were playing like for months, dude. We played every Sunday for months. We went through we went through the entire Ravnica block, and we played every Sunday for the entire block.
Are you guys going to talk about this much more? Because I can go downstairs and have sex with a girl right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we're pretty much done. But no, we've learned from our mistakes. And we've all kind of talked about like playing Magic online, you know, because it's on PSN now and 360 and Steam as well. So that's a cool candidate. But Chris came over one night and we're just like, fuck it, let's just go buy a couple theme decks. And there's something to be said for like face-to-face time, you know what I mean? Not playing online. It was fun. It was very cool.
Yeah, and Lisa got to play with us too, and she was kind of learning at the same time, and because it's been so long since she played, and
yeah,
it was cool to get like a refresher.
Mm-hmm. I may join Friday. I don't know. I'm kind of scared.
Fun stuff,
too.
Dude. It's fun.
Kind of scared.
Fun stuff. Don't be scared, man. Don't be scared. Seriously.
Don't be scared.
One of the decks
like
that I played.
Game.
Has like this really scary combination, and it's a theme deck. It's pre-built. I didn't make this up.
We're getting way too deep into Magic.
Well, let's just put it this way: the combination came out, and we basically told Lisa, including me, told Lisa how to get rid of it, and because she was just starting out, and that's just the way we ended up playing it. So don't be scared.
Coming back to the Nerdcast.
Yeah.
What else you played, Jason?
That's really it, I think. Yeah, the Dead Space. I didn't even play any Street Fighter, for real. No.
Wow, dude,
Dead.
Who are you?
Yeah. Wow.
You're going to start training for that final round, man?
That's coming up really, really quick. Yeah, I really do.
I need to get my projects
busted out. Fucking A, and then MVC 3 comes out soon. And
yeah,
very soon.
Ooh, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm not 100% sure yet
You should, man. Arthur's in it.
Yeah, I know.
We're
going to
have
Arthur
a couple
that's
like,
pretty cool.
Release party nights, I think, once it comes out.
Yeah.
Nice.
In my place.
Another Fight Club?
Fucking A.
That might be worth it.
Because, I'm sure I'm going to double dip, so I got 6 for each. So
I'm probably just going to do the PS3 version, and that's it.
Yeah, if I do anything, it'll be the PS3 version as well. I think so.
We have friends on VG Evo.
No, it's because I'm a little weird about versus games. I would rather play versus games on a pad, and probably goes back to me playing Xbox or X-Men versus Street Fighter so much on the Saturn that I just got used to that feel of the pad on that game.
That.
So,
and it's a 4-button configuration now.
Yeah, so the PlayStation pad should work fine.
Oh yeah, it'll be fine.
I think that's the route I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's totally cool. But I don't have much to add. I'm sorry, I wasn't really prepared for tonight.
That's cool.
I could have made
up
some shit, but
I got a few things. Whatever. Not much. A little more Dragon Quest. Played some more Vanquish. I think I'm at the very end of Act 2 on that. I played some Red Dead. Getting into that. I'm not enjoying it as much as you guys are, but I am enjoying it. So there's something to be said about that.
Well, that's surprising because we were in an email thread earlier this week, and you were saying that you were talking a lot higher about it than you are right now.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying it, but you guys are enjoying it a lot more than I am. And I said that in the email thread too. So, you know, and one of the things that's really really tough for me right now is just getting used to the controls of the horse, because I understand why they are the way they are, but it doesn't stop me from still trying to control it, like, based on the camera. Like, up is forward. That's the way the horse controls, always. And I'm not used to that yet. So I still try and control the horse based on where the position of the camera is, and it's been messing me up. So
channel your inner Resident Evil. How about that?
Yeah, because I didn't have that problem.
I totally did.
Really?
Definitely had that. That issue was rampant. That first race, I think there was one bridge that I failed to cross like twice. I just fell into my death and said, "Your horse died and you failed." So, but yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's an interesting game, and I haven't gotten far enough into the story to really know what's going on yet. I don't think. You know, I've gotten into some gunfights and I haven't, the only thing I haven't really used yet that I used while I was, playing on Jason's game is the dead eye or the red eye or whichever it is. I thought that was really cool and I haven't gotten a chance to use that yet. So, I will say this though, the like aim assist makes it really easy just to pick guys off real fast.
No shit.
Yeah.
I like that.
Let's see what else. A couple demos. I played the Bulletstorm demo.
I did check that out.
I'm really sad that we didn't get to do into stream, because this would have been a really fun game to do on the stream. You know, just because all the kill combinations and all that other shit, I thought it was really fun. You know,
I don't even.
What's that?
You damn right, dick tits.
Dick tits. That's right. but yeah, I mean, I had a good time with it. I mean, it's pretty short. You know, but the idea is to play the demo repeated times and get a better score each time. And you know, the first time I went through it, I was just kind of getting the feel for it and how it works and stuff like that. And I like it. I'm surprised that I'm saying this about a first-person shooter, but it's gorgeous and the kill combinations are funny. So
they are funny.
Yeah, I really like the fact that you can like shoot the leash out, pull the guy towards you, kick him away from you, and then shoot him in the head. That's really cool. So. Let's see.
Fun as shit.
Catherine, that came out on the Japanese PSN store.
Yeah.
That's the new Atlas game that takes place in the Persona universe. It's a puzzle game and it's interesting. You're this dude that's having a nightmare, and in your nightmare, you have to climb this tower of blocks pretty much. And you have to like manipulate the blocks and where they are so you can climb up them and get to the top of it and get through the door before this like giant beast with a fork stabs you.
Right.
So, you know, typical Japanese stuff, you know? But I played that. I played a couple stages of it and that's about it though, because there's a lot of like cutscene in between, and you know, the gameplay was interesting, but it didn't, you know, not enough for me to keep playing a Japanese demo. Let's put it that way.
Right. Okay.
Let's see. The only other thing I have to mention is a Dungeon Defenders on Amazon. Yes. on Android.
Android, yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
The one thing I will say is that Google really has to figure out how to handle their ads, because, and here's why I'm going to say that, because there are games that are obviously much less of resource hogs than Dungeon Defenders that don't run nearly as well because ads get in the way. And they, for some reason, they just suck performance out of this phone. And I don't know if you've seen this problem with yours, but like even on like Angry Bird Seasons, every once in a while, you'll like if you're on one of the boards that has a lot of snow coming down, and while the ad is on the screen, it'll kind of twitch. And then once the ad goes away, it's just smooth sailing. And I've seen that on a few games that have ads in it you'll get like these little stutters. But man, Dungeon Defenders, Unreal Engine, it's smooth as silk. I couldn't believe
it.
You know?
Yeah, I was really impressed too.
So yeah, I mean, I thought it was really fun, and it's a neat little combination of tower defense and mm-hmm. and action RPG, and I like it, but because I'm really not that into tower defense.
Sure.
But I do love my action RPGs, and this one does a really good job of kind of making the tower defense more of a setup thing. So mm-hmm. you're not doing
all these changes on the fly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more of like, okay, well, get yourself set up and now let's do this wave. And after you complete that wave, you can go, you have like another setup phase and you can find new equipment and stuff like that. So interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm sad I didn't get it when it was like $3, but you know, $5 wasn't that bad. I have no problem paying that.
No, not at all. So. And I'm actually really looking forward to when it hits like, you know, PSN and Xbox Live.
So. Oh, majorly, because the controls on this game on the phone.
Yeah, it's all rough.
I hate
touchscreen controls.
I hate touchscreen D-pads. I think they're retarded.
Yep.
Let's see. But I think that's it for me.
Cool.
So let's get to what we really want to talk about.
News.
Is there any news?
Yeah, it's a little bit. Lately? Couple things happened.
Oh, really? Like what?
Not really big stuff.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Well, really,
we can skip news if you want. We can just go straight to the feature.
Yeah, nothing really happened. Okay. Yeah. A couple of things did happen, a little smaller things, because I know there's the big elephant in the room. But a couple of smaller things. Everybody knows that awesome Mistwalker Hironobu Sakaguchi Jam coming out. Last story. Everybody's excited about it. Some videos are showing some really cool combat.
Yeah.
So far, Nintendo has no plans to bring it over to the West.
Oh.
What?
I'm pretty sure I mentioned this on a previous show, but...
He may have, but still, like, we never got a chance to talk about it, but, like...
That's because it wasn't really believed at the time. It's like, why would they not bring it over?
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of shitty, because I was actually looking forward to that game. It looks really fucking cool.
Well, yeah, and especially at a time when people are really, really bitching about, you know, about JRPGs, this looks like something that could have, you know, could bring, you know, people back into that genre, into the Eastern, you know, type of RPGs, and like, just for them to come out flat out and say, yeah, we have no plans right now. So I don't know if that's just bullshit posturing and they're going to bring it out anyway, but they're, or what, but why not start getting people hyped about this? Especially,
it looks like a really high quality title, you know, and for the Wii, I think it could do very, very well. But
if I'm Sakaguchi, I would be like, hell yeah, this is going to the West the way, you know, Final Fantasy, this is my chance to stick it to Square in the Final Fantasy brand, like this, like for, you know, the reasons that he left. I don't really know the specifics and everything, but I know if it was, I'm pretty sure if it was Sakaguchi's, you know, decision, he would still be at Square. So, I think this would be his chance to be like, yeah, we're going to release this bitch worldwide. We're mm-hmm. going to do this right.
Yeah. He tried to do it twice already, right? But the problem was that it was on a system that nobody gave a shit about in Japan. So now, you know, he's releasing this game that's on the Wii, which is, you know, the best-selling console in Japan right now. So, you know, mm-hmm. that's, well, home console, I'll say. And... I think this one could sell really well, and I would bet it's going to get over here somehow. You know, Atlas that picks it up or, you know, whoever. I have a feeling that, I mean, you would have to be stupid to just pass up on this opportunity. You know,
yeah, this will somebody sell, this is will sell millions. Yeah. Yeah. So no worries there, right?
Gajinworks picks this up. This is the first game they officially put out. I'm calling it right now.
There you go.
Gajinworks picks this shit up. And I will buy it day one. Okay, sorry.
Well, more news. Another game that I actually liked. And then this news came out, and I don't know how I feel about this, but the creator of Deadwood, David Milch. You guys seen Deadwood? Well, you don't like, Chris, you don't like Westerns.
I do not.
But for those who do like Westerns, Deadwood is a pretty solid show. Really nice. Well, David Milch, the creator, is adapting Heavy Rain into a film. He's in a partnership with Warner Brothers, and
Yeah, it's going to be like a straight port to screen, because I guess the game was kind of like just
plot holes and all. And that's the issue. That's the issue that I have. That's the issue that I have, man. Like, it's like this game makes Heavy Rain, the story itself, the script, when you lay it on paper, makes a serviceable video game. But that script on paper makes on film would make something that's barely a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Yeah.
It's just a bad idea. A really, really bad idea. So, David Milch, stop. just don't do it. Drop it. It's not even Heavy Rain's like Halo, to where the name itself is gonna, you know, bring in, you know, quite a few, you know, tickets. It's Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain already was a critical success, but it didn't sell much because no one really knows what it is. And it was, I don't know.
I heard about this, and my thing is, why are you going to make a movie out of a
cinematic game?
A game that is already a movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the game is very cinematic. It's already like, it's already like a create your own movie. You know, I don't know.
Right. I mean, just as much as we've talked about this one, but Uncharted 2 doesn't need a movie. Like, it's too cinematic. Why would you need that? I don't know. It just bothers me.
We'll see, I guess.
I'm with you. Yeah.
So, any other news, guys? That's pretty much it, right? I mean,
there was this new thing that Sony talked about, like this new portable that's coming out. They called it the Nintendo Got Pwned or something like that. That's what I heard. So Sony talked about the PSP2 that they codenamed the NGP.
The Neo Geo Pocket?
That's right. What? The Neo Geo Pocket. And can I be the first one to say, holy shit?
So you brought me on the show to talk about this, actually, because I was I was present for the press conference, not in person or anything, but I watched like the stream and stuff. And
yes, I was there too.
I was kind of holy shitting and everything, but you know what? The dust has settled, you know, the smoke has cleared, and I've got a clear head now. It's the next morning, you know, after an all-nighter, you know. And I think I can form a pretty, unbiased opinion about it now.
Okay.
Don't you guys think? We're professionals here.
We are.
Correct?
So, we do this. I mean, this is serious business.
And, you know, I'm kind of the naysayer or whatever on the show, but, just let me be the first to say, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
I'm so hyped for this.
God damn it, Jason, you're worrying me, because I was about to say,
he wasn't worrying me at all, dude. I knew where he was going.
Come on.
I knew where he was going, because him and I were talking about it this morning, and it's, oh, God. Let's talk about what this thing has got. All right.
Yeah.
So dual analog sticks are finally here, and they're sticks,
not nubs,
not nubs,
not slider nubs.
They're calling them micro analog sticks. Okay, and that right there is pretty badass. So a 5-inch OLED touchscreen.
What?
And that's a fat screen, man.
That is a sexy ass screen.
I mean, the PSP screen in and of itself was already the best screen in my house.
No doubt.
They're going to make it.
No doubt. Dude, no shit. That PSP Go screen, there's no joke. It is sexy. And this thing just kills it.
Yeah, that's like 960 by 544, which is like...
It's like pretty awesome.
The resolution that's of the original PSP.
Pretty slick.
Yeah, that's twice the resolution. That is technically an HD resolution in itself. I mean, it's not a standard one, but...
No.
You know. But it's... So, we have a new physical media that's going to be basically like SD cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Front
what
and
you
rear
call
cameras.
It, by the way. You call that, by the way.
I did mention that.
Yeah.
I also said that I thought they were going to have some sort of UMD support, but I guess we have yet to find out if they're going to do anything with that, like USB drive or something like that.
But because this guy is flash-based, we can actually – and it's backwards compatible too, so we can download our old
– That's right.
Yeah.
So, downloadable PSP games do work. They actually displayed Monster Hunter Portable 3 using the right stick for the camera.
Ooh. See, I will play this fucking game now.
That was hot.
I will play this game.
I know that, like, our friends, like, Ryan and Chris and Serena are just cheering about this because they like to talk about the claw and how you actually have to hold the PSP to use the D-pad to control the camera while you're fighting these giant-ass monsters. It just doesn't work. So, yeah, that was huge news. One of the things that surprised the shit out of me was just that back touch panel. I mean, so Travis, you kind of called this. You said that it had like these analog touch sensor things, but the whole panel,
the
like,
whole screen,
a literal like mirror panel. It's like another screen that doesn't actually display anything. And I can't even imagine how much they could do with that. You know, I mean, that's a really cool idea.
The one thing I hate about my smartphone is, firstly, I love having multi-touch. Like, that's great. Like, you know, zooming in, zooming out, and stuff like that. That's great. But, like, you know, you're constantly touching your screen.
Yeah.
And then how many times do you have to, like, clean it, wipe it off? You know, like, your fingers are sweating. So, we got to wipe it off even more. You're starting getting at that really bright red and green, like, smears across your fan. You can actually do that on the back of your PSP now.
Yeah,
like, you can
really
do
cool.
That's fantastic.
And your
so
fingers
you can play
aren't in the way of the screen, so you can actually see everything that's going on. I mean,
yeah.
that in and of itself is like one of the biggest complaints that people have about touchscreens.
It
now,
gets
I do
in the way
think
of the
for
action.
Like,
it really does.
Yeah, it does get in the way of the action, but I do think that, like, say if you're playing a game that really, if you're playing like a touch-based game, that something similar to like an iPhone game that kind of needs like pinpoint accuracy, like, I don't see how you'd be able to get like really as good of, you know, accuracy hitting something. Like, say for instance, like you're playing Duck Hunt. I don't know, just for an example.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't do it on the back of the screen.
That shit over and over until all of
us. It'd be harder to do it. That's when you would need to swap over to the front of the screen.
Yeah. But that's not a big deal. I mean, if it actually takes, you know, if it uses a touch screen for the play type, then that's fine. But, you know, something like Ninjump, which doesn't necessarily have to, you don't have to actually touch any specific spot on the screen. You just use the touch panel on the back and you don't have to worry about it.
And that's great.
Yeah.
For that, it's great.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for things that can be done for actual hardcore PSP2 made games itself, because you can actually find some really cool. I mean, I can see them. Some people complaining about, you know, it being gimmicky if they tried it, but like, you know, kind of like, if like you're playing like Dead Space has like mini games in it, like, you know, you gotta like reroute circuits and stuff, but like you play the mini game by using the back of the, you know, the PSP or something like that, you know, something that could be seen as gimmicky, but at least if anything, experimental.
Oh, there will be a lot of gimmicky shit. No, we have to be honest about that. There will be a lot of gimmicky shit.
Yeah.
But the stuff that is made to use it, and I, you know, there's going to be stuff that's made to use it that well, just like the DS. There's games out there that are made to specifically use the touch screen, and they do a good job with it. I have no doubt that we're going to see similar stuff on this. And I don't know. I mean, I guess the one thing that really makes me feel better about this machine is that, you know, everyone complained about the PSP and the fact that it was basically a mini PS2, a portable PS2. And like, most of what it got was ports and shit like that. We're going to see PS3 ports, I'm sure. However, because there is so much of this, there's so much more to this hardware, there's going to be a lot of original stuff to it. You know, I have a feeling that we're going to see a lot more original stuff for the new PSP than we did the old one.
I'm actually a little bit concerned. I mean, if we take into consideration what they showed last night, which was essentially a lot of like ported over tech demos,
right?
I'm really worried that we're going to see a lot of PS3 ports.
And you know, at first, I bet we will.
Yeah, at first, you know, it could go either way. But I did want to touch on the touchscreens, no pun intended. I guess I'm really excited about this because this is going to sound like a lot of hype, but I really think this kind of revolutionizes, you know, portable controls, because by putting the touchscreen on the back, this frees up our front controls. You know, with the DS, you know, you've got your stylus and that kind of. That gets you away from the you know, the right side buttons or whatever. But this opens up controls for, like, real-time strategy games. StarCraft 2, for example. you know, you could use the back touchpad to like select troops or something like that. And then the front touchscreen to, you know, perform separate actions, you know.
Or the buttons for that matter.
Exactly. So I'm really, really excited to see what this holds. And I have high hopes. I cannot wait.
There are
I'm a little excited. I'm sorry.
There are, and this is something that Jason and I kind of touched on this morning when we were chatting online. There are a shit ton of people signed on to make stuff for this.
Yeah, the third party developer support is lengthy. I gotta say.
Yeah, there's a lot, and
which is good to hear. Yeah. That's Sony's been showing off this. We've been hearing people saying that. Well, yeah. Sony's been showing us the tech, like this is, you know, pretty legit stuff. So,
and it sounds like they finally got their ducks in the row and they made something that was easy to develop for. You know, everybody mm-hmm. was saying how easy it was to port stuff over. And
yeah, this took a half hour to port over to the
No shit, dude. Yeah. What the dude from Capcom say that to create the Lost Planet demo that they showed, it took him like 2 weeks?
Well, they probably should have spent 4 weeks. I guess it didn't look that good, but...
Give it a little bit more polish.
Right.
But, I mean, I am excited. The only thing that I'm worried about now is what are we doing about price, man?
I mean, well,
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say $400 just because I'll feel better when they release it for like $300 or $350, I think.
Right, yeah.
I think they legitimately could probably charge $400.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
probably should in order to make some money, but I'm sure that'll hurt them in the portable war.
Well, maybe we're gonna see a lot of similar stuff than what we saw with the PS3 launch, though, as well. Hopefully, not with all the shortages, but we're gonna see a lot of multi-SKU launch. I believe, because they came out this afternoon and said that, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, there's going to be a 3G model and a non-3G model. And I'm pretty sure that non-3G model is probably going to have like something a little, you know, some other things that are kind of taken off on it, like maybe like a 16 gigabyte internal memory or something to make it more, like give them more of a reason to sell it for less of a price. Because honestly, taking off the ability to do 3G is not something to lower the price of a console for.
Because I don't know about
because
very similar situation of like, say the Kindle or like the Nook or something like that that has like a 3G version and a non-3G version where there's a $50 difference in price. You know,
on top of that.
What's that?
And then a data plan on top of paying for a more expensive console?
Don't have the data plan. The Kindle and the Nook don't have a data plan. But fucking look at the iPad, man. You pay $130 for 3G, and then you got to pay for a data plan.
Yeah, but Apple's a different beast, though. I don't think Sony still has things to prove before they can just say, okay, well, you're going to spend a little extra for 3G, and here's a data plan for it.
And like, that's the thing. Sony's not there yet. There's no data plan on top of it. I think in Japan, it's included 3G. I think. I'm not 100% sure with that. If that is the case, it would be cool to see if they could figure something out to bring that type of functionality over here.
Yeah. And to me, the data plan, because I will want the 3G model to be able to play on the go, out and about. But my issue with the data plan, I was speaking on Twitter with Jonathan Downen from Cast Medium. We're all, and you guys are as well, kind of avid, you know, smartphone. We love our smartphones, and we pay a data plan, you know, per month that goes onto our phone bill for this. And but it's for a phone, so it's kind of like, well, it makes sense. It's a data plan. You're paying to get online anywhere using your phone service. And him and I both agreed that we were both really uneasy about the idea of, okay, well, you paid for an expensive portable console, and now you also have to pay a data plan to, you know, play online using a 3G service when you're out and about. And we kind of came with the thought that, you know, if they were to kind of, you know, promote a data plan, but say kind of promote it as like a PSN Plus or like a kind of more of a data plan, but an online service. Here is the service we offer, kind of like an Xbox Live Gold, so you can get extra stuff or like a PlayStation Plus, something that gives you an incentive, like, cause I'll be more than happy. Because I do it with Xbox Live. I have no problem paying for Xbox Live, and my Xbox is not bread ringing. I feel really, really good about paying, you know, $60 a year or $50 a year for that service to get online, for the right to be online, because I do enjoy everything that comes with it. I wouldn't be able to say that about a data plan on a portable device, on a portable gaming device. I mean, are you catching my drift where I'm getting at? Like, don't just say, okay, well, here's your, even if it did sell for $400, here's your $400 thing, and oh, by the way, $25 a month for your data plan.
I wouldn't pay it. I would get the Wi-Fi only version.
Right. But what if that 3G plan was kind of like a PlayStation Plus service to where you got little, you know, discounts on things,
if,
extra stuff?
If that was the case, then I would think about it in that sense. If it if it was like a X amount per year and it was a reasonable amount, if it was like $50 per year or something like that, I would consider it. I would consider it.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I would really like to see something like that. And you could still be able to play with people if they're playing on wireless or not. I would like to see something like that. So
I guess we'll see.
Just give me the Wi-Fi, yeah.
I'm more concerned about that. Here's kind of what I'm looking at now. It's like before, you know, I last week when we did predictions, you know, I mentioned that I thought it was that the PSP2 was going to have a $250 price tag. I'm not so sure about that anymore. However, the amount that I'm willing to pay for this machine has gone up as well because of what it is. Instead of being $250, like wait in line, and $300, I need a killer app. It's gone up to $300 and I'll wait in line, and $350, I need a killer app. So, you know, I think that they've proven that they've got some significant hardware here, and they've got a lot of people backing them up. And I think this can be a successful console if they price it right. If they can actually get a Wi-Fi only version for $250, that is gangbusters against Nintendo. That is huge.
Yeah, but what if $300, $350, I think is a steal, to be honest. But
I would wait in line for this shit at $300. I would wait.
If it's $400, that's my price point, I think. But I'm gonna need a ride to, you know, the line to pick it up, because I'm gonna have to sell my car.
Well, brother, we're gonna be camping out, so
fucking A.
You.
Cool.
Well, there's still other stuff though.
Yeah, there's like, still a lot of other stuff we could talk about. There's one like thing because all of us here have an Android phone. I do want to kind of bring up the whole PlayStation Suite thing that they talked about.
Ooh, and it is sweet.
It is pretty sweet, I have to admit. All right, so this is something that Sony is apparently getting into bed with Google now. You know, this is something that I didn't think was going to happen, but apparently it is happening. Where they are going to have something called PlayStation Suite that will allow you to play, like right now, they've been touting a lot of PS1 games and PSP minis and stuff like that on Android devices. Now, this is big in my opinion, because now, like, we're seeing, like, as Android owners, we've been getting shunned because it's like iOS is getting all these cool games. And we have to wait for them and shit like that.
Yeah.
Now it's PlayStation Suite. You know, you have something that is that Sony is working to have like a minimum standard, and they have a certification program where they are actually helping developers get stuff onto PlayStation Suite so that it will run not only on Android phones but on the PSP2 as well. And my question now is, at this point, Android is out there. There's more Android handsets out there than there are iPhones. So you know that developers are looking at that. Now you throw a PlayStation Suite on top of that and say, hey, it's whatever you put on PlayStation Suite will run not only on Android devices but on PlayStation PSP2. That is a much more enticing offer, and I think we're going to see a lot more developers that make iPhone games coming over to make stuff on PlayStation Suite so that it shows up on Android and PSP2. Not to mention the stuff that is going to be exclusive to PlayStation Suite.
Yeah, man, I got to tell you, like last week when we were doing predictions, one of my things was that what were Nintendo, as much as Nintendo we knew was going to sell, you know, gangbusters, but what was Nintendo and Sony going to do to combat with the juggernaut, the wireless handheld juggernaut that is the iOS? I'm going to tell you what, so far on paper, what we're hearing, Sony's not doing a bad job. I really like the direction they're heading.
I can't say I hate it, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I like the fact that they're working towards, you know, they're putting some competition out there. Let's make things more interesting.
Yeah, and I also like to see Sony really learning from the mistakes that were made from the PSP.
Absolutely,
they're really capitalizing.
Well,
on,
we'll
on,
see. Let's really see what the price is first.
Yeah.
Let's see what the price
is
first.
I think it's going to come down to what they want to charge for it. So.
Well, they came out today and said that it will be "quote unquote" affordable.
They said the same thing about the PS3. It's definitely affordable if you have a second job.
That's right. And I think
I'm not kidding.
What's his name? I can't remember who said it, but someone actually said that people will want to get another job to pay for it, and that is just ridiculous. It's like, how could you be so full of yourself? So, you know, it sounds like that, you know, it looks good on paper. It looks good on paper. But in reality, what is it? You know, and I think it was Black Skimmer on VG Evo said that he saw that they were aiming to get it into the $250 to $300 range. Now, I would love to see that. And I would also love to see where he heard that.
Right. Yeah. I will be first in line that night.
No shit.
Yeah. I agree.
Jason, I'm bringing my tent.
Okay. No, you do not bring... Well, I'm not going to buy a tent, that's for sure.
No, I already have a tent. I'm just kidding.
Oh, good, because I'm going to get wasted and I'm going to break it over my fucking leg. How about that?
That sounds good, dude.
I'll fold this up for you.
Can I say one negative thing about it?
Go ahead.
I really don't like where the nubs are located.
Yeah,
the,
I remember
no,
you
I agree.
Close
that. To the fucking D-pad and the box.
I agree.
Way too close. I don't like that.
Well, I think they did that. They tried to make it because, you know, to keep your thumbs in close proximity with the, you know, with both the nubs and the buttons. But
I can
see
being a problem if you're like trying to use the face buttons a lot. Like,
or if you have really big hands like Jason. Like Jason's got some mammoth hands.
Right.
I guess
I don't think I'm going to have a problem. I have little small baby hands. Baby bear hands.
Yeah, I probably won't have that much of a problem either, but I definitely see that concern. So,
not going to be comfortable.
The one thing
did
I was
mention the cameras at all?
Yeah, I did mention the cameras. We didn't really talk about it much though. Anyway. They were talking about some augmented reality stuff and things like that.
Yeah,
and I really thought that the stuff that they did with Hotshots was pretty cool because he hit his drive and then like held up the PSP too so he could watch the ball going like where the camera was pointing where the ball was going to go and stuff like that. So that's interesting stuff.
I'm already going to be diddling the back and stroking the back of the PSP, which is creepy enough, you know, and then I just picture myself on the bus or, you know, on a bench somewhere and I'm like pointing the thing around to, you know,
I think we're going to see a lot of gimmicks out of this, but I'm hoping that we get some quality stuff too.
Not to mention, what if I'm just like laying on the couch? I don't want to fucking move around.
Yeah.
I don't want that shit. No, thank you.
And
I can't wait for those sex games. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what MC Wilson said last night? He's like, finally, we can have that Goatsy game that we've always wanted.
Wow.
Somebody's laughing really hard. You guys aren't familiar with Goatsy, apparently.
Is that like furries?
Oh,
because we've talked about
just,
this before.
Just like furries.
It's just like furries. Apparently, that's the hot shit right now.
Goatsy,
all the kids Google are doing it. Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I will add to this is that the whole PlayStation phone thing. I now think that's just an Android phone that has PlayStation controls.
Yes,
because. Yeah. You know, they built it so that you can play the PlayStation Suite games without having to use that ridiculous on-screen, you know, PlayStation controller. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's what they're going to end up doing with that. But overall, I am very happy with what they showed.
Super hyped.
Yeah.
That was some megaton shit.
That was.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Can you believe that they kept all of that shit under wraps? Like, there were a few tidbits here and there, you know, that we kind of knew about the touchpad.
I think they were just teasing us the whole time. I think they let shit. Well, they let shit. They let some of the shit.
To be fair,
like controlled.
Yeah,
leaks.
But to be fair, in the past, Sony has had like pretty much the whole package of a lot of stuff, just like out in the open before, like to the point where they were joking about it at their, you know, at their press conferences. You know?
They kept most of this under wraps, and you know it. A lot of people, I mean, how long did it go that they said that it was going to be down? Everyone was saying download only. And, you know, no, here we are. We're going to do this this new flashcard-based media. And I don't know. I think they did a good job of trickling out what needed to be trickled out to let people get that taste of it and think that they knew a lot. And then all of a sudden they just dropped all kinds of shit on us, and it was crazy. So.
Especially with like so many third-party developers, like we never had an official, like you know, screen leak, like leakage of like what it actually looked like.
Right,
right.
We had all kinds of mock-ups, but nothing official.
I gotta say, man,
it's pretty cool.
It's pretty impressive the way it looks.
I don't know how they did it.
Pretty impressive.
Sneaky.
All right, guys, let's take a break. We're gonna come back and
talk about it more.
No? We could. But it'll be like our second feature. It'll be crazy.
Yeah, true.
So we're going to come back and we're going to talk about whether or not recent games have made us soft and why we seem to be not as good at games now as we were when we were like younger. So, and then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us and we'll be right back.
Right back. It's time to wake up.
With all the important music and gaming news you want to hear, it's time for Amplified News!
Tom News, go!
What news? What are you talking about?
It's the Amplified Gamers. We're back from hiatus. The iTunes feed is fixed, and we're back. We'll be releasing new shows as normal every fortnight on Sundays.
Guys, we never release shows on time. Are you sure about this?
Terry, don't worry. I'm editing now, and I'm releasing the shows now, so it'll be released on time. Don't worry.
Listen, Terry, can we really trust a blanched ham to do our editing for us?
What the fuck, man? What gives? At least I don't mix my rum and grape soda. Come on, man.
Yeah, well, at least I don't fucking write a shitty script for an ad that I don't give a shit about. What the hell? We've been trying to do this.
Hey, I can't believe we made it 2 years.
You can listen to our show every other Sunday at AmplifiedGamers.com or VGEvo.com, where we discuss the latest video game news and reviews from the newest albums to the greatest game soundtracks.
And don't forget to refresh your iTunes and Zune feeds and subscribe to the show.
And welcome back.
Woo!
You welcome back.
I'm refreshed.
Thank you, Jeff. I mean, Travis. I mean, Jeff. I mean, the other guy that would have run shit. Hey!
Thank you, Canadian substitute.
That's right. today we're talking about if recent games have made us soft. Why do we suck at games now? Why are we...
I don't know. The PSP2 did not make me soft last night.
That's right.
No. Rock hard.
Yep.
Like, hey, it just magnified the stiffy when I saw level 5 was signed on.
That's why on Twitter I said the people have called it the boner machine.
Boner machine.
It is true.
That is right. Anyway, we are actually talking about games, not the system that we don't even know the price of yet. And sorry, I just kind of brought that down, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's my bad. I'm sorry.
Energy is gone.
I know, energy is gone. I'm sorry.
I don't even want to do this anymore. Fuck it.
So yeah, PSP2 is the greatest thing ever. So we're talking about if games have made us soft and if they're too easy now, and if we were better at games when we were younger. So we actually got a lot more response than expected on this. So I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Travis Baum and let him do some emails.
All right. Well, Zeke writes in again. He says the answer: no. Accessibility really has nothing to do with challenge. Games are quote unquote easier now for a couple of reasons. Number one. He says a couple of reasons, but he has like five. The average age of gamers should be higher than it was 20 years ago, which would mean that they have less time for gaming. That or not feeding their kids, you decide.
That's true.
Number two, we live in a fast-moving, bite-sized world. We Google everything and use our GPS to get home. from work, so don't expect us to remember which generic-looking NPC said what 2 hours ago. Serve that information on a silver platter, bitch. Number three, competition. There are more games available, which means that if you don't catch your consumer's interest, you don't sell. And number four, game designers are better now, well, some at least, what we expect as quote-unquote hard gameplay before really was poor design. Sierra Death, anyone? Number five, facts in YouTube have replaced trial and error. Don't deny it. I know you were just like me. Fail twice, blame the game, YouTube it, and then get embarrassed that you didn't understand that shit the first time around.
True. I'll own up to that shit, man. I've done that more than once.
In closing, there are still well-designed games out there. Vanquish's challenge mode is an excellent example. You know what you have to do, and when you fuck up, it was your fault. Regards, Zeke.
Vanquish is a challenging game. I'll give you that. So far, anyway. I'm on that second act boss, and all of a sudden I get hit by a missile out of nowhere. It really fucking sucks.
So, did I miss something? Is he arguing for or against gameplay?
He's saying that recent games aren't making us soft. It's more of a situation that we have less time and stuff like that. And
so it's not necessarily the games, just every example that he provided is making us soft.
Yeah, he talked a lot about the age of gamers and then the different world we live in where we want things easier. Like, you know, if we don't know the answer, just Google it.
And that's the thing. We've actually danced around this topic before and it's just, I think it's less about what games are today than, you know, just who we are today. And it's not that we can't play those challenging games anymore. I mean, I personally think it's just that we don't have the time or, you know, the bandwidth to play those games anymore, because it's just like, you know, we like to have all the latest and greatest shit, man. And it's like, I can't spend, you know, 40 hours on a game that could only take me 10 just because it's, you know, harder than it needs to be.
Okay.
I guess that's just kind of my thought on it. But
right. And he also brings up a good point with, like, YouTube and everything. Oh, yeah. I think all of us are pretty guilty of that.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, Braid says hi. This has got to be Thurston from VG Evo. This has got to be – he's got to have, like, my most favorite name of all of our listeners, from Trinity Sutherland. If that doesn't get you a chick in the bar, I don't know what will. games have gotten easier, definitely. This is out of requirement, though. It used to be that I would get somewhere in between 3 to 6 games a year as a child. Now I found myself getting 3 to 6 games a month, including downloadable and cell phone games, which means I have more things struggling for my attention, not counting my wife, children, and other outside factors. While before, when I got a game, I had to struggle through the harder parts because it was the only game I really had to play. Now, if I hit a hard spot and a distraction comes up, I find myself not really wanting to struggle through it. I can just pick up another game and start it instead. Or when I do pick it up again, it's hard to get back into it. So maybe you guys have the same amount of time to play games as you did when you were younger. But as for me, I feel lucky to have just an hour a day. During that hour, I still want to feel like I accomplished something like I did when I was able to play for 6 hours a day. So, yeah.
That's kind of what I was alluding to.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's a situation where we have more games to play, so we have less time to play them. Unlike when I was younger and I bought one game, you know, every other month or something like that. And you know, when you got, you know, you struggled to get through that stuff. I mean, that's why I can actually get through Ghouls and Ghosts. I mean, shit, I had the game. It was the only game I played for like 6 months. Of course I can get through it. You know, you memorize all that shit. Now,
well, what does that have to do with, are we losing our edge as a gamer, though?
But that's what I'm getting at. It's like, it's not that we can't go back and play those games. It's just that we're no longer willing to put the time into those games. It's like, I could probably get through Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins now on PSP, I just don't want to put 6 months of playtime into it to try and memorize where everything is. You see what I'm getting at?
We asked who would you get now.
Yeah, I have other games to play. It's like, I mean, I love Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins for what it is. And, you know, I know that challenge is there and I still go back to it once in a while. But, you know, I don't think I'll ever beat it like I did Ghouls and Ghosts. You know, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Right. Answer me this, though. Did you beat, this game was bound to come up. Did you beat Demon's Souls?
No.
No. Why?
Other games out. Same reasoning. Same reasoning.
It wasn't because it was too hard?
No.
Like, you got to a point where you just couldn't continue anymore?
No. It was exactly what he said. It's like, you know, you get to one point and you die a couple times and then, you know, something else grabs your attention and you never go back to it. It's not that I got to the point where I didn't want to play it anymore. It's just that I got distracted by other things and just didn't go back to it.
If I hadn't been distracted, I totally would have went back to it. It's tough to go back to now because you kind of forget, you know, your groove, right? You know, forget where you're at, and you got to kind of relearn the game, and there's a lot of distractions out there.
I agree.
I want to know how many times we can say distractions today.
Right.
That's going to be awesome. Let's keep it going, though. Shadow Hato writes in and says, I'm really at odds with myself about this question. At first, I immediately thought that no, newer games aren't making us softer. The games themselves are just much easier, which he truly does believe. However, in the past week of playing Golden Sun Dark Dawn on my DS Lite, I'm thinking that maybe they have. Let me try to explain. First of all, I am someone who loves challenges. I will go out of my way to try and do something that's difficult or challenging. One of my favorite series of all times is Time Splitters for this exact reason. That's why for me, achievements and trophies seem to have become a way of life now. There are sorts of things that I've always wanted to do, and now I get something to show for it, regardless of whether or not I'm the only one that will ever look at them. I also log on every day to Halo Reach to see what the challenges are to take on some Halo credits. Don't get me wrong, there are some really, really piss-poor achievements out there, and unless I really love the game, I'm not doing them. My favorites are either achievements that are crazy difficult or achievements that you do just for, just for doing something you've already had to do, just in different ways. As an example, Batman Arkham Asylum, beating a Titan without the Batarang. I think that sums up how I feel about how games haven't made me suffer. However, I mentioned playing Golden Sun on the DS as to why I think games have made me softer. And it has nothing to do with the difficulty of the game. When playing the game recently, I noticed I would overlook what I found to be the obvious solutions to puzzles. Whenever I would see something I couldn't get to, like a genie or a treasure chest with a minute or so, I would look online at a fact right away to see how to get it. This is where I think games have made us all soft. Rather than focus strictly on gameplay and such, almost every game has some sort of collectibles or secret items nowadays. To make it worse, these collectibles actually affect your character in most cases, meaning you want to find them as soon as possible. I think many people, myself included, are way too quick to jump on a FAQ, walkthrough, or even a list of collectibles to be found in each area or stage. I find that while I love a good challenge, I often feel like I'm wasting my time trying to find these collectibles that, in my mind, I would eventually find anyways if I put enough time into the game. I would rather use the quick and easy way to find them and spend more time playing and enjoying the game. Wow. I honestly, I think Shadow Hato secretly was calling me out because I do that shit on the reg. I'm really guilty of that.
That's the thing. We're all guilty of that, I think. I mean, especially when it comes to like collectibles and shit, it's like, when let's say Assassin's Creed 2, all the feathers and shit. Hell yeah, right. I used a FAQ and I used like YouTube videos and sure, I may have found them all if I actually like put enough time into the game, but I don't want to do that shit, man. I got other games to play. That's my entire point.
Yeah. I'll go as recent as today. I was playing Dead Space 2, and I'm like, wow, you actually have, like, a lot of costumes you can pick up. I wonder if I'm missing any costumes. And I went in the middle of me trying to burn through the game and beat it today before recording, I actually stopped for about a half an hour, and I went on GameFAQs and looked for costumes. It definitely stopped it from, okay, well, the sense of, you know, searching and scrounging for it myself, I was like, well, let me check the easy way out. So yeah, I'm really, really bad at that.
Yeah, I am too.
Really, really bad. I don't
soft
do it.
And flabby gamers.
Honestly, I don't do it a lot to try to speed my way through a game.
No, I won't. Like, that's the thing.
Unless
I got
stuck.
I'm the same way. I won't do it. Like, it's one of those things where it's like the first time through, I won't. You know, okay. Let's. Here's the most recent that I can think of that I did it often enough to warrant this conversation. Angry Birds. I actually completed every level in Angry Birds without looking at a video or a FAQ or anything like that. Right? Then I went back and I watched the videos and I got 3 stars on everything. So that's kind of where how I work with that kind of stuff. I'll do the best I can to get through it the first time, and then I'll look at like FAQs and videos to find a better way.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah, Jason, speak up, buddy. I mean. I know you've talked a lot so far since this
started, but yeah, totally. I want to say that I'm on the fence on this whole subject here. it's true. A couple things to note. Yes, we've been gaming for a long time, so you know the age range has definitely the spectrum has gotten a lot bigger. So and because we're older gamers, and we've mentioned this already, there's just lots more out there. We have less time. Less patience. We want to be instantaneously entertained and rewarded and everything. And, there's that. But I don't think that necessarily all games have just gotten softer by any means. I think the genre has expanded so much, that we have a lot of, like cinematic games or something like that probably aren't wholly challenging, but we do have plenty of games, and especially, when we factor in achievements. There's still lots of like hardcore gaming experiences out there for the people that can muster the time and energy. A lot of us can't anymore.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Shit like YouTube and, there's facts everywhere. And a lot of us, just go directly to that. I don't know if everybody does that. I certainly do. When I get stuck, I'm like, I'm not going to play this for 2 hours and just be frustrated, So
right.
I'll check something out online. But
yeah, because then it hinders your view on the game in the first place. I mean, it could be like a fantastic game, and all of a sudden you get stuck on something that's stupid, and
yep,
it ruins your mindset on the game and how you feel about it. So
definitely, I mean, I can't say without a shadow of a doubt that over the years I'm definitely a softer gamer, without a doubt.
I don't think it's the ease of the games that's doing it. I think the ease of the games is a result of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me stop you guys right here, because I'm going to jump into the next email, and then maybe we'll do a voicemail afterwards. But let me jump into this next email, because I think the last few emails we've kind of been skirting away from the main focus, and that is being of the games themselves making us softer and not pretty much our personal lifestyle changing, making us softer. So let me jump into this. This is from our buddy Lunatic563. He says, I believe, yes, some games have made it easier for us hardcore gamers and casual gamers, but I believe that most games are the same, like shooting games. They're either like Call of Duty controls or Halo controls. It's also because they want you to be more into the story. Like, what if they made the best story ever, but the gameplay was kind of crappy, and some people can't get past just one part of it, then people just stop playing. So what's the point of the story if you make it really, really hard? So just make a good story and make the gameplay super easy.
Right. I was kind of referring to that before too. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Then he says, P.S. Do you think they'll ever make Kingdom Hearts 3? And Dead Space 2 also made me scream like a little girl. real quick, to answer your question, yes, there will be a Kingdom Hearts 3, and yes, Dead Space 2 is scary as shit.
Man, I
but
really
yeah, Jason, what were you saying? You were kind of alluding to,
That we have a lot of like cinematic games, and you've heard me bitch about it before, whatever. But I think a lot of those games are geared more towards, just the cinematic qualities. And if you look at a game like Uncharted or something like that, you don't have lives or anything like that. There's no score to worry about. If you die, you just restart. Almost exactly where you were at. So.
Even more to the point, Enslaved, which never lets you die.
Yeah, right. The game's kind of handed to you.
Yeah, and really, see, is. That's the thing. It's like all the things that I know that you hated about Uncharted. It's like Enslaved does it worse. It's like you can't fall off the edge of a cliff. You can't. Unless you are meant to like jump in that direction, it will not let you fall off that edge or jump off that edge.
It's rare that you see a game over screen nowadays. And in games like that, I should say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we saw plenty in like, you know, Demon's Souls, Super Meat Boy, shit like that. But you know, more cinematic quality games, you rarely, rarely see it. And those types of games just were not around back then. You know, you look back to NES days, and you know, game over screens were a part of life. You know,
yeah,
they were.
You know, those were fundamentals. You know, how many lives and shit. You know, that's just something that you accepted in any kind of game. So.
Yeah, I will respect a game developer that is not afraid to show a player the game over screen. You know, a lot even. Like, as long as there's some good design and the onus is on the player to not die and on bad gameplay, I will salute a developer to not be afraid to show us that game over screen and kill us. If anything, to teach us, like, this is how you play the game. If you do not do it right, if you do not play the way the game is meant to be played, you're going to die. You know, again, Dead Space is the same way. If you don't learn how to correctly, you know, play this game, if you don't really utilize the combat for what it's supposed to be, there's a lot of situations that you're not going to prepare yourself and you're going to get slaughtered. Right. And it's not the game's fault. It is your fault.
But even games nowadays, no matter how easy they make it for you to get back into it, if you look at games back then, it's like, this is before like game saves and everything. You know what I mean? You know, you die, fuck, your game is over. Okay, you got to start from world 1-1.
Yeah.
You're done. You know, and we definitely don't see anything like that.
That's why anymore. They, of course, that's also, you know, made things from our youth useless. Like, when was the last time you had a game that actually used the Konami code?
Right. Yeah. Nowadays, that kind of shit's just meant for like unlocking characters or shirts or some shit. Who knows?
Shirts.
Sure. Additional costumes, right?
Yeah. All
right. I love additional costumes.
Fuck yeah.
I also love voicemails. Chris, can you drop something on me?
I can't. I don't have one.
Really? We don't have anything.
Not for a question of the week, we don't. I got a lot of voicemails for a regular email section, but not for question of the week.
We'll stew in those later on then. I'll holler at you. Let me go ahead and take care of a little business real quick.
All right.
Potete says hey.
Potete. Hey,
what's up, man? I haven't heard from him in a while.
He says, I'm not sure
birthday,
about
your... I think it was his birthday recently, too.
Mm-hmm. Hey. I'm not too sure about your definition of soft, but I'd assume you mean it as in making you feel less of a gamer. I would have to say the variety of games available out there does make me soft. There's so many, many games out there nowadays, from portable harder core like PSP, DS, to softer core like Android or iOS. Now there's three main systems plus PC. All these varieties make me feel a lot less of a gamer. Back in the day, I had a Game Boy, PS1, and N64. I think those were in the same time frame, right? And I used to be able to play almost every big title that comes out, making me feel like a pretty big gamer. Making me feel like I knew almost everything. The industry had expanded so much since then, and now I feel like I'm so much less of a gamer. Thanks, guys.
I can see that. I know what he's talking about, you know, and Chris mentioned it too. There's just so many more games available nowadays, you know.
Yeah, we're stretched thin, man. We want to get new stuff quickly. Mm-hmm. That's why it's like, I mean, everyone is concerned when a game is like 8 hours long or 6 hours long. It's like, well, if it's good, I don't care. You know, it's fine with me. It's like, I know Vanquish is only going to be like a 6 hour burn, but damn, the game's fun.
I have played a shit ton of JRPGs in my time, and I just cannot anymore because I know that it's going to be a 40, 60-hour experience.
Grind, you know what I mean? Fest.
Oh, my God. Whereas I would just eat that up, you know, when I was younger. And
that's the thing. I have to limit myself on those.
So, there's lots of times in which I'm like, God, you know, I wish I could play that. I wish I could play that. And then it's like, maybe I'm not as much of a gamer as I used to be. You know, if I can't hit all the stuff that I really want to. But
yeah. But they're, I mean, so what is it about, because there are still those games that we put hours and hours and hours into, because, you know, Mass Effect 3 is going to be a 30-hour burn for us. We know it's going, that will be, that is a thing that will happen.
There's far less grind, you know?
There isn't a grind in Mass Effect. Right. That's the thing. It's like
Mass Effect 2, they every time you finish the mission, it was a level up.
Pretty much, yeah. It was pretty close to that. And, you know, I was actually in the odd situation where I actually finished everything I could do in Mass Effect 2 and was still not level 30 yet.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's the thing. It wasn't really a grind. You did what you could do and, you know, you moved on. And whether you were grinding or not, the level of the, like, the main story missions scaled to the level you were at anyway.
Wow. So games have made us so. It's true.
It is true.
It is true. It is true. And another thing that is true is that we have one more written email, and it's from our buddy from VG Evo, Animated Fan.
What's up, hey, Animated?
He says, I wanted to respond to the question of the week. Personally, I think I have not gotten soft as a gamer over the years. There were a lot of NES and Genesis games that I didn't finish when I was a kid because they were too difficult for me at the time. In addition, during the NES, Genesis, and PS1 days, I used to plug in a Game Genie or a Game Shark to cheat my way through games and make them much easier.
Yeah.
Now, in this day and age, I would play games on normal difficulty and go through them again on higher levels of difficulty, just for the personal challenge. If there is an achievement or trophy for beating a game on a higher difficulty, then that gives me more incentive to do it. Even though there wasn't a trophy for doing it, I still went through the super the fucking controller breaking chaos mode in God of War 3, and I never would have done something like that when I was a lot younger. Huh. Being rewarded platinum trophies or getting all the achievement points gets me to do things in games that I would have not have done at the time or even had the patience to do in my youth. Finally, with this question being answered, I'm in the mood for some soft serve chocolate ice cream. Have a good show, guys, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on the NGP. Mm-hmm. Were you not listening? We've already talked about it, dog. Like, you're not paying attention. Rewind like 30 minutes. You'll hear it all about it. Mm-hmm. So he says no. He's. I think he kind of embraces where we're at today, and I'm kind of with them, to be honest with you.
I'm not against it. I like where we are today. I mean, but it's because, you know, I think it's because we buy so much that we want the instant gratification that comes from something that's a little bit less about the difficulty and a little bit more about, you know, the progress and the, you know, the achieving your goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to give you my final thoughts because I agree with what you're saying, but not for the same reasons. I do not feel that we're softer as a gamer or we're losing that edge or, you know, or less of a gamer. But that wasn't even the part of the topic, but regardless, I don't feel like that at all. Am I losing my gaming edge? I think, if anything, at this day and age, right now, I'm a better gamer than I was 5, 10, 20 years ago. I can probably say that. I mean, I play Twitch first-person shooters, competitive online multiplayer shooters, and I do rather well at those. So I can say, yeah, I definitely have not lost my edge to play well, to play hardcore things. Animated's kind of on the right path of where I am. You know, I probably owned, I don't know, I can't give you an exact answer, but hypothetically, if I owned 50 games from age 6 to 15, all right, I probably would have beaten a fourth of those games. Maybe.
Hmm.
At that age. Because, yeah, the games were harder. And I'm sorry. I mean, as much as a lot of these games, nostalgia-wise, a lot of those games were not – the gameplay's not very good.
Oh, right? I'll agree with you there.
Like, it just – the gameplay's not there. And nowadays, even though, like, a mediocre game today has way better gameplay and is easier to play than a game back then. And it's not because of the fact that we lost our edge. It's because games are just not – they didn't play very well, period. Like, nobody had, you know, was a master at certain games back then. Like, I remember a Captain America and the Avengers side-scrolling, I believe, a Genesis game, and it was just god-awful. Like, I was all about it when I was buying it. I'm going to beat this game 1,000 times because it's comic book-based. I got all the Avengers comic books, and I think I couldn't get past, like, 2 chapters.
I was that way with the X-Men game that came out on Genesis.
Oh, man, those games were, whew.
Yeah, they were bad.
Those were rough. Like, the one where using Wolverine's claws drained your mutant power just doesn't make sense. Ugh, that still bothers me to this day. Regardless, though, my answer, no. I don't think we're softer. Games are the way they are now for a certain reason. There's more casual people. It's a broader audience, and games have to... You know, they have to say, okay, well, we know who we're playing for. We know, you know, there's millions more people playing now than there was 30 years ago. So they kind of make it more accessible. Do I appreciate the quick burn through Uncharted? Yes, I do appreciate that. Do I appreciate games that are super, super hard that make you work at it or you die? Yes. Do I appreciate the 40, 50-hour burn sometimes? Yes. Like, so I do not think we're losing our edge whatsoever. If we were losing our edge, we wouldn't be doing a podcast about this thing we love doing so much. It's just,
I see we're going to keep on playing. And I agree with you to an extent. And it's, but we are in kind of in the same boat, it sounds like. Because, I mean, you're talking about how you're better now at these first-person shooters, but you also put a lot of time into those. And that's kind of my point. It's like, we could be good at whatever game we want to be good at. It's just, we need to put the time into it. It's just like, like Jason with Street Fighter. I mean, Street Fighter is a hard game to master, but he's really good at it because he's put hundreds of hours into it, you know, because he's put that time into it.
Yo, that shit came natural. I'm sorry. The hundreds of hours is just for fun.
That shit's genetic, son. Like, don't even get that twisted.
Practice my ass. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, it's not necessarily that games are easier, so they're making us want easier games. It's just that our lifestyles lead us to just kind of, I guess our lifestyles have created those easier games, and the games that you get really good at are the ones that you sit down and you play for a very long time, and that's, you know, it's just the nature of things.
Yeah. I guess all I'm really trying to say is, you know, I'm easily frustrated, and, you know, as soon as I hit a roadblock, I'm looking it up online or something like that. You know, but on the same token, you know, with Street Fighter, I will actually sit down. It's like, okay, why did I lose that match? You know, and I'll sit and I'll try and dissect it in my head and really think about that stuff. You know, I definitely used to do that with older games. It's like, you know, you're trying to figure out patterns to bosses or whatever and, you know, thinking about it more. But yeah, I can safely say that I do that a lot less nowadays, for real.
I'm with you.
So I'm softer. I think I'm softer.
All right. I think we're good. Are we good?
I'm good.
Should we move on then?
We could.
How about some new releases? Let's do that shit. How about that?
Yeah.
So the main release for next week is Bionic Commando Rearm 2. Now, this has not been done by Grin since they shut down. It's been done by Fat Shark AB, who were apparently somewhat related to Grin, so we'll see how we go there. I guess the biggest change is they've added the ability to jump, which might ruin everything. It all depends on how good the level design is. So, yeah. And the other release, which could be interesting, is Gabrielle's Ghostly Groove for the DS. This is a rhythm game. It looks very similar to sort of Elite Beat Agents or Wendan style of thing. So, yeah, if you're into that sort of thing, might be worth checking out. And that'll do it.
All right, so now's about the time when I would fill in the gaps, but... Yeah, there's no gaps to fill in. That's all I see coming out next week.
Still in that drought.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, I welcome a drought. I got a lot of games to play.
True.
So, and I'm sure we'll be doing. Are we doing going to do Rearm 2 on the stream next week?
More than likely. I mean, this game is not getting a lot of hype.
Yeah, I'll get it though.
I will. So. Yeah, I probably will too. I mean, we loved the first one. But I wasn't a big fan of what I played out at E3. I don't know how much has changed since then. Jump mechanic is definitely awkward, but
can I be devil's advocate and say that I have never liked the NES or the original Rearmed because of the fact that you cannot jump.
You are off this show.
I've never liked it. Oh, like the fucking Bionic Commandos on this holy grail that if I don't like it.
We're done with you, Travis.
Oh, my God. Whatever. No, I'm serious. There are actually a lot of people that I've talked to that have agreed that it is an awkward mechanic because it's a platformer that you can't jump. Like, it is awkward. Like, if you give this game to someone who's never played a Bionic Commando game, they're going to like, wow, this is, like, totally weird.
If I remember correctly from the way that it played, that it's a fixed like jump distance, like you can jump like hop straight up, or if you jump forward, it's a certain amount. So yeah. I don't know if this is going to sell you on buying a Commando by any means.
Yeah,
but so it's not going to control like a traditional like platformer.
Nope.
Where you're hopping and bopping and jumping on clouds and shit.
Well,
much different.
Yeah, hopefully it's not floaty and Jeff will still play it.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Hey, let's get to emails. What do you think?
Hey, Indus Crew, just recently picked up Mass Effect 1 for the 360 and I'm loving it. Just wondering whether when I pick up Mass Effect 2, should I get it for the PS3 or 360? What really gets me is that the 360 version supports the save import, but will that be much different than going through the comic on PS3? I prefer PS3 over Xbox 360, but do play games on my 360. Yay, Metro 2033. Just wanted to hear what you guys thought. This brings up a good point, because the easy answer would be say, okay, well, you already picked up
360 one,
the 360 so version. 360. Yeah, transport your save, get a more original playthrough, kind of take more ownership in your character and just play through. Yeah, the motion comic bothers me.
See, I haven't actually watched it. I don't. What is it? What does it entail?
It's about 10 or 15 minutes, and the decisions that they make you pick, like the decisions that are there, because they tout that 700 variables are going to go into play in Mass Effect 3
right.
from Mass Effect 1 and 2.
Right.
700, give or take. All right. But during a motion comic, there are things that, and they don't even make that big of a deal of them, but there are certain things that, okay, well, obviously, so-and-so decision that I made that I really enjoyed making, like Genophage's decisions or whatever the case may be, like stuff that was really hard to make decisions on, because there were like two Genophage situations in Mass Effect 2. And it's like barely even a remnant in the comic. Like certain things that they do pay attention to, like the Rachni Queen. It's just a quick decision. Okay, yeah, so obviously the Rachni Queen, so we know for a fact now that in Mass Effect 3, the Rachni are going to play a solid role, because that is what BioWare chose to focus on in this comic. But yet, like, it was weird. Like, you know, I have a big kick about Ashley Williams, but like, when they were talking about, okay, well, who did you choose, Ashley or Liara? Well, you got Ashley Williams. She's a fighter. You met her once in a while. And then you have Liara, someone you met. You feel a deep connection with her. You know, she's somebody who's kind of like a kindred spirit. And I'm like, oh my God, obviously BioWare wants you to go with Liara. Like, that's the way the story's supposed to go, is with you with Liara.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and I don't really want to get into it much, but you know, even if you got with Ashley in the first one, they kind of tout Liara as the one that Shepard should have gone with.
Yeah, but
even
my
in the Shadow Broker
is,
DLC, they do that.
Yeah. Well, my issue though with that is with the comic in a nutshell is that it pretty much showed you what decisions that you made are the ones that BioWare gives a shit about. The other shit is just lanyap. It's superfluous. Like, it's not going to matter much.
Yeah, I can see your point there. I mean, some of those minor decisions actually do, like, show their face in Mass Effect 2. But yeah, I agree. It's not going to, those are not the things that are going to carry over, you know? So, I mean, It's really hard to say. I think you'll get more enjoyment out of the game if you stick with the 360 version, just because there are those like smaller decisions that kind of peek their head in every once in a while in Mass Effect 2.
Right.
And then, you know, I don't know. But if they're cutting stuff out, like, or making less of a deal about your decisions, then, or like trying to steer you one way or the other.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I like that very much.
Yeah.
But,
I was just unnerved by that comic when I was watching it.
I'll have to look it up or something on YouTube.
Yeah, check
and watch
it out.
It, see what yeah. they're doing.
Go play that first fucking game. It is still good.
All oh, right. he's playing.
I like
That's
it.
What he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
I actually heard a voicemail from Better Tomorrow on Gamers Only Older, where he actually played the second one first and then went back to the first one, and he was enjoying the first one. I was like,
cool.
Really? All right.
I've said that from the start. It's still easy to go back to Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
If you can get, if you can deal with like the inventory management, then you're fine in Mass Effect. That's the first Mass Effect, that's really the only real issue that a lot of people had, and I didn't really care about the inventory.
Yeah,
I thought my biggest problem was the Mako.
The Mako stuff is probably the least solid portion of the game, because me, for one, I like changing my team's gear. To be honest with you, I like everybody wearing different shit once in a while.
Yeah,
I just get a kick out of that, I guess.
And I liked the ammo being part of the gun rather than being an ability, personally.
Yeah, I agree. That's good stuff. You know what also is good stuff? You know, having a smartphone that has the ability to send us an email from your phone. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Because Potete came back again and sent us something from his phone because he says, "Hey, India." Spell check for the win. How have you guys been? I haven't been sending any emails. Well, you did earlier just a second ago, but I still every now and then listen to your show. Makes me laugh every time, smiley face. I have a question for you guys. We all use the internet, right? My question is, what is the one most important thing you use the internet for? Is it social networking like Facebook, using emails and Skype, entertainment, such as like Failblog or YouTube, checking news, or just porn? If you could only use one feature of the internet, what would it be? And he says, all right, guys, don't have to tell you to keep up the good work because you always do. And say hi to Jason for me if anyone
hi.
Talks to him.
Hey, Jason.
If you guys still talk to me anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason.
If we're still on good terms, yeah.
Hi.
Hi, buddy.
Pub says hi. Just want to let you know.
Pub titty. If you guys talk to him, tell him I say hey.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
You know. What do you use the internet for?
Oh,
I get paid.
Yeah.
It's part of my job.
Yeah, me too.
But aside from that, really, I don't do a hell of a lot. Email, I think, is the big thing. But really, my site rotation, I've only got a handful of stuff on there. So I don't really use it for that. Certainly not social stuff.
Yeah.
Because I hate people, except for you guys. And by you guys, I mean the listeners.
Yeah, not us. He hates us.
You guys, I tolerate.
Tolerate. Yeah, I use it for work, and I use it for email and gaming, like keeping up with gaming news and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Staying current.
Yeah.
That's what I use it for.
Yeah, and I'm the same way, and I can't break it down into one feature that I would keep among others. Like, the internet's like everything now. It's huge. It's how can you choose one thing?
You can't.
You can't. I don't know. Anyway.
But I got something for you.
What you got?
Yeah, this is Captain Arlock. It's fucking 6:52 in the morning on Saturday. And I just wanted to tell you, fucks, I'm on my way to work. And fuck you guys. And keep up the good work on the podcast. Peace.
Fuck you too, buddy. Thank you.
I think he felt bad because he sent another one.
Hey, you guys, it's Harlock again. I just wanted to apologize for that last message I left a few minutes ago. It's just that it's like 6:52 in the morning, you see?
Right.
And it's Saturday, and I gotta go to work. And I don't really want to do that, you see? But I guess I used this number kind of to vent my frustrations, and I didn't mean to do it in a way to offend you guys, and I'm sorry. So fuck you.
So fuck you. I love
we
want
to thank old man Hitherbottom for sending in a couple of voicemails.
You know who he sounds like to me when he does that? He sounds like Adam Sandler in, like, what is it, Little Nicky? The one where he plays like the retarded son of the devil or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty retarded.
Irony's not lost on me there.
Yeah, the movie's not that
Harlock
good.
Harlock is a retarded son of the devil. Really.
That is not where I was going.
Didn't need to. Just naturally went there.
All right, Travis, what do you got for us?
Let's see. Sean Recupido comes back. He says, if two studios were to collaborate, what would be your dream collaboration? I was playing Halo Reach the other day, and I thought it would be pretty sweet if there were destructible environments. So if DICE and Bungie got together and made it happen, I believe it would be awesome. Imagine blowing up the area where someone is standing from underneath them without a jetpack, and they just fall to their death. That does sound pretty awesome. So, like...
This is a tough one.
Nothing good ever comes of two companies teaming up. It's just like mashed together shit. I'm telling you. And if somebody has an example, please let me know, because I'm not educated, apparently. But, yeah.
Damn, I can't think of one.
Like Capcom and Level 5, what are we getting, Layton plus Phoenix Wright or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey. Whatever the hell that's going to be.
Yeah, and that's... Right. See, I don't really think of that as... I think it's like a cop-out collaboration. It's like... Hey, let's just put both of our games together instead of thinking of something original. You know, it's like if you're gonna if you're gonna collaborate on something, then make something new.
Right. Yeah, well, I got news for you.
I'll tell you what. When Jason and I heard that Level 5 and Capcom were getting together, we were excited as shit. And as much as I like the idea of like a Layton and Phoenix Wright game, I would have loved to have seen where they could have gone with an original idea.
Mm, I got news for you. That's going to be a Professor Layton game. I mean, it's obviously the most casual and the more famous title. It'll be a Layton game.
You think,
with Phoenix
Professor
Wright in it.
Layton is more famous than Phoenix Wright?
I think it sells better.
Oh, I think that's a toss-up, man. No, I think they're both pretty good.
Dude, Layton's like on top 10 on NPDs and shit when it comes out.
I think they're just making guest appearances in each other's games. I don't know.
Probably, yeah, that is a Professor Layton game through and through.
I kind of know what he's getting at is like certain mechanics that certain studios are, you know, that they have their staples, right? He's talking about
right.
Yeah. So I can't think of any offhand, but
I would like to see. I don't know. Fuck. Hmm.
That's something we gotta dissect.
Oh, no kidding. I would. Oh.
We can put that in our fucking pocket and use it, man. Like, honestly, to be real, like, that would be nice. Hell, that would, when we ever bring contests back, that'd be a good contest question.
That would be a good contest question. I think we're going to
You know what?
I think I want to do another contest next month, so.
Let's do it.
Next show.
All right. So. Well, let's hold on to that. Sean, thanks, buddy. Good looking. Do you have any more voicemails?
Yeah, I do. How about this one?
Okay.
What up, Inda? It's Elder Shane. What's up, guys?
What's up, dude?
I just got a serious question this time. Not no, ha, hey, hoo, ha, hoo, ha. None of that.
Hoo, ha.
But I really wanted question. That. Hey, ho.
And, just answer it if you can. But, I was wondering how big are you guys as far as continuity in your video games? Like, I can tell you, like, an example right now, like, recently, Mass Effect 2 just came out on the PS3, and I was like, hey, since I had issues, my Mass Effect 1 on the 360, on my old 360 that I had, because, like, I used to, four times I tried to go through that game, and, yeah, my hard drive was supposed to save my game, and, like, one time I even got as far as we are, and then, like, I got my Slim, and I tried to put it on, I save file on that, and then I lost the memory on that too. So yeah, it fucking sucks.
Wow.
So that's as far as I got. It's pretty much to the VR. But I was pretty much gonna buy the PS3 version of Mass Effect 2, so I didn't fucking get the little comic with it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is probably like a good summary of it. I was assuming that at least, but as soon as I knew it was like 15 minutes long, I'm like, fuck that. I mean, that's not enough substance for me, because. Like, continuity is, like, really, really big with me. Like, Like, I almost can't play a game without playing, like, a prequel or something like that. Because, like, before even Metal Gear Solid 4 came out, I never even played a Metal Gear game before then. And then I heard that was coming out and it was pretty cool. So I ran through all the other ones, and, yeah, it's one of my favorite series now. So, yeah. So how big is continuity to you guys? Would you just, like, I don't know, get some random game that's, like, number 3, and then, like, you was like, oh, I don't care about 2 or 1 or something like that. And then, like, you hear all these references from the old games. That shit pisses me off, so I can't do that, like, at all. So, yeah. Let me know, guys. Peace.
This is a good question. For me, it depends on the game. It's like I played Killzone 2. I don't give a shit about Killzone 1. You know. However, right. like we were talking about Dead Space earlier, Travis. I would never play Dead Space 2 without beating Dead Space 1 first. I don't know if it's necessary or not, but it seems like it's that type of game where I'd rather finish the first one then just pick up and start with the second one.
Yeah, some people would say that was a good move.
Yeah, and then, the same thing with, like, the Assassin's Creed series. There's no way I would play Brotherhood without beating 2 first.
Right, of course.
So it really depends on how the games link together and that kind of thing, and I think Metal Gear Solid is a good example that, you should play all of them. I don't think you necessarily have to play them in the order that they're numbered because... You know, in all technicality, there's a lot of, they jump around in the timeline. So I guess it really depends on how you do that. Castlevania's, like, for instance, is my favorite series of all time, but there's no real order to them. So, just play them in any way you want. So
yeah.
It depends on the series.
Yeah, it does depend on the series. Like, there's some series that doesn't even make sense. Like, the Legend of Zelda series, like, there's, like, so much... like speculation, like people like really trying to time it out, like, okay, this is when this game came on, and this, like, the very first one on NES was actually the third game chronologically.
How can they tell? They're
and,
all
like,
the same story.
I know, it's like there's so much there's actually Wikipedia pages that like really, really chop up the information to like really break it down of
wow.
When these games like took place, and I'm like, I don't even think that was their purpose.
No.
Like, I don't think Miyamoto gave a shit. It was like, yeah.
Yeah, well, just making a new game, that's all.
Apparently, from what I hear, actually, that they do have, like, a canon, but it's under wraps or something like that. But it still doesn't make sense, but because, they're talking about, like, alternate universes and, like, this game is a dream of, this Link and,
what?
And that. And, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff. Google that shit. It's actually really weird.
Yeah, so. True. In terms of games, I think I'm a little more lenient because I don't look for storyline first, I guess. I always look for gameplay more than anything. But I'm definitely a stickler when it comes to comics or movies or shit like that. Games, whatever. not that I don't like storyline in my games. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, but
yeah, I get you.
I'll give them a little more leniency.
Okay. Travis, you got anything else?
I have one more email, and it's actually a callback from Mike PSN08. He had a little PC problem last week, so he couldn't give us his predictions. So we're going to throw him a bone. We're gonna call him out right now.
Did you say throw him a boner?
Throw him a bone.
Okay.
I'm not going to throw him a PSP2. I don't have it yet.
Besides, you keep that shit for yourself.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Mike PSN08's predictions for 2011. Number 1, Final Fantasy XIII 2 will suck so bad in sales. Even if Lightning was new to the entire game, she could not save it. Number 2, the 3DS will look so good that after playing Pokemon in 3D, people will turn into zombies. Honestly, I see a price drop by the holidays on games and the system.
Wow.
Number 3, the PSP2 will be out late summer, and before the year end, will sell games for $45, $44.99 tops. System's going to be no higher than $269.99. Hmm. Bonus point, will have Wi-Fi and Android apps added down the road before 2012. Number 4, Uncharted 3 will be the PS3 game of the year, bitches. I'm sure we all appreciate that.
I wouldn't count on that if Infamous 2 comes out this year, man.
Yeah, I know. We brought it up last week, and we all forgot about it. The hype's here.
Yeah, that's right.
The hype is here. Yeah. So he says, well, I'm off as I wait here for the tech to show up this weekend to repair my bleeding, fucked up PC since it's under a good warranty. Thank you, Office Depot. Love, Mike PSN08.
Thank you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll store those predictions and we'll see how you do in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a couple more voicemails. We're going to go through them real quick.
Hit me.
Here we go.
Hey, what's up, Indus? This is Nate Shadowhato calling in.
What's up, man?
I had something I wanted to mention about your question of the week last week when you guys were talking about the PSP phone and PSP2, whether or not they'll be separate. Personally, as somebody who worked at Verizon Wireless for 3 years in customer service, I think without a doubt they will be separate entities.
Yep.
Basically because I think that there's too much of a hassle to have the PSP2 be a phone, and when games don't work or updates aren't going, you know, properly, or buttons aren't working, that's not something that Verizon or AT&T or whoever is going to want to deal with. And on top of that, if, you know, Verizon or AT&T has to tell the customer, well, you need to call Sony to get this fixed, it's going to cause more uproar for those phone companies than they want. So that's about it. I just, as much as I would like to do that, I just don't think it's going to happen. I do think that the PSP2 will have like a 3G option for downloading things, though.
Ding, 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 ding.
Because that way then Verizon or AT&T can just say, well, all we deal with is the network. And, you know, that's completely different. So hope you guys have a good show. And I'll send in my email for the new question of the week. Take care. Later.
Later.
Thanks, Scott. Doesn't that sound like Scott?
I don't know. Like
Scott. No, not really.
What? No. Really? You guys didn't hear the accent?
No, not really. Oh, okay. Well, the maybe an accent, but Scott's got a much different voice.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Anyway. I've got one more voicemail, and it's pretty important, I think.
It's time for another edition of...
She doesn't like it too hot!
True.
No, she don't.
She doesn't like it too cold!
Oh, no, we need something in the middle, baby.
Room temperature!
Yeah!
Room temperature!
72 degrees, baby.
From Aces High. Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Aces High with another edition of Random Questions. And since I've been called out as to giving you 100 questions this year and you haven't got any from me this month, I'm just going to give you four right now. I hope you can handle it.
Oh, shit.
First question is, do you ever dip cookies in milk that's not just regular milk, or like, do you dip cookies in chocolate or like strawberry milk?
We did that one.
The second question is, what's the last book you attempted to read, and did you finish it? The third question, what's your favorite Asian food that is not sushi? And the last question is, when you're at home just having like a lazy day or something, do you prefer to be in shoes or socks or nothing at all? Thanks, guys.
Okay.
We
already did dip cookies in other types of milk, but Jason wasn't on when we did it. So, Jason, what do
you think? Dip them fucking Oreos in peanut butter, motherfucker.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother.
Yeah.
Jack Bauer will testify that, bitch.
Testify.
All right. So, what was the next one that he did?
Next one is
last book you read.
Ooh. Well, I'm reading a book right now.
What are you reading?
It's called... Shit, what is it called? The Child Thief. It's by Brom, who actually does like concept art for video games, like Dragon Age. And he also does some comic book stuff. Yeah, that's his name, Brom.
Brom?
And it's a... What's that?
Is he an artist as well?
Brom? Yes. Yes. Okay. He does concept art for like Dragon Age and also comics.
I like his shit, yeah.
It's really, really good. And he also does he has art in the book as well. Like every 50 pages, he'll have a character, and all the cover art's done by him as well. But what it is pretty much like a real, real dark take on Peter Pan.
Okay.
And it's super good.
What's it called again?
So far, The Child Thief.
Child Thief. Is he like, surprise, adoption? No?
Never mind. You know, that's a serious thing. You know, people really, you know, really, you know.
See, the last book I attempted to read was a Game of Thrones, and I got about 20 pages in. I'm notorious for falling asleep while reading. I can't. I can't. I just can't fucking do it for whatever reason. I just get too comfy and I'm out. So,
all right.
I'm not a big book reader. I've read a ton, like, in my time, but not lately. I'm soft in my old age.
Next week, are books making us soft? Are we not as hardcore readers as we used to be?
The last book that I read was Star Wars Lost Tribe of the Sith. And I believe there's four parts to it, and I read the first part.
Of course that's the last book you read.
Of course it's the last book I read.
Of course. God, I love you.
I know. All right, so favorite Asian food that's not sushi.
Ugh, that's tough, because I love sushi.
Dude, hibachi. That's what I want. I don't care.
Good shit.
I have the thing for sesame chicken and steamed rice. Steamed white rice.
Okay.
I love lots of Chinese food. I'm a big fan of the pot stickers, dumplings.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
I'll go with that.
You like that General Tso, too, though.
I do.
That's your shit.
Huge fan.
That's your shit.
That's my go-to.
Yeah.
All right, so walking around, well, chilling out at the house, shoes, socks, or barefoot?
Straight up socks, yo.
Socks.
Oh, my God. Socks all day.
God, I'm going to be the weirdo. I got to have shoes on.
Yeah, I don't.
I got to have shoes on. I don't know. Like, I was walking around today. Funny enough, I was walking around today. I had a day off, and I'm like, I need to put some fucking shoes on, man. Like, I was just, I don't know. I think it was because it was cold in the house or something. But, like, I remember specifically me telling myself, I need shoes on right now. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I just need some shoes right now. So, I guess, yeah, the answer is shoes.
Got to protect that pedicure, right?
I mean, well, you got to protect it. I mean, you know, you pay a lot of money to make your toes look good.
Exactly.
You got to protect your investment. I mean, you know, you wouldn't.
I could appreciate that.
I know. Like, if you're, you know, a model, you're not going to punch yourself in the face, right? You got to you got to keep the goods, right? You know, you got to keep the goods nice and tight. And if you're training for a Street Fighter tournament, you don't want to go break your hand. Mm-hmm. Wear some gloves.
I don't know. Jason might want that challenge, man.
Bring it on.
Who wants some? So, well, is that it for our regular emails
and
stuff?
That is it. We are done.
Because
how do you walk around the house?
Me? Oh, I said socks.
Oh, yeah,
he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
See, Jason, me thinking that I'm a rude motherfucker for cutting him off, but you're the rude motherfucker not paying attention to him. So, regardless, I have a few extra tidbits, courtesy of Yahoo Answers, for some fine, upstanding citizens. Yes, I have some really good stuff. this one right here, which is one of my favorites I found today, it's asked by this dude named Loza. He says, I got a new black Xbox. It has little vents everywhere, but I live in a crappy apartment, and I just saw a cockroach go inside. Will this mess up my console?
What?
You do not. It had to be a fucking tiny-ass cockroach.
And the vents aren't that big, man.
Looking at
Oh, my God. Okay. We got more. Trust me.
I'm pretty sure that if a cockroach crawled inside your Xbox, the heat probably killed it.
It probably will. I've seen dead insects inside of consoles before. Not pretty.
I've seen inside computers.
I have too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess it's not too common.
No,
but
it's
why
not too
makes
uncommon.
Why make sense of these things? Like, the sense goes out the window, especially when you have douchebags like Zach. Why do people leave and rage quit when I pwn on Nuketown? Every day I get at least 50 kills or above when I play Nuketown on Black Ops, and I use the Pro Pipe M203 and M72 and run around on my RPG and pwn in camp while everyone starts calling me racist names just because I am better than most, even MLGs. I don't want to play with me because I am pro pipe. Last night, everyone rage quitted when I was 119 and 6 and all used my AK-74 pro pipe and I the tragedy from YouTube. That is literally what this motherfucker is typing.
What is the pro pipe?
I guess it's a grenade launcher. The noob tube?
Noob tube.
God damn, dude. You speak the language. Use it. Anyway, he was a douche anyway. Final one from Yahoo Answers. I have the Modern Warfare 2 hack on my PlayStation 3, and it keeps freezing. How do I get it to stop?
Take the hack off. What do you think?
Gotta hack better, man.
You gotta get your hack right.
Don't be a dumbass. That's how.
Oh, keep your shit street legal, and you won't have the problem, Dick.
That's right.
Ugh.
Stop hacking. Stop ruining it for everybody else.
Dicks.
Oh, I agree.
Thank you, Yahoo Answers.
All right, so question of the week next week. So open or closed platforms. What are the pros and the cons to an open and to a closed platform, and which do you prefer? Now, kind of an example.
What do you mean? That's what I was wondering.
Kind of an example is like I would consider Xbox Live kind of a closed platform because they don't, you know, they don't allow as many, you know, dedicated servers and that kind of thing. And then PSN is more of an open platform where you can have dedicated servers and shit like that.
Right.
And on the same token, you look at like the big smartphones. iPhone is iOS, and that's kind of a closed platform. I mean, Apple wants just their stuff on there, and everything has to be approved. And then Android is more of an open platform where, like, the apps that you put on the market don't necessarily have to go through a stringent approval program and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of where I'm going. So
does this go with hardware, too, like with consoles, like hard drives and stuff like that, too?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I want to go all around. I want to know what people think about it. So just to repeat, open or closed platform, what are the pros and cons, and which do you prefer? All right, you can answer the question of the week by leaving us by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. That address. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's kind of like Leap.
Is it? I heard it wasn't.
Actually, no, it's not.
No, there's a 4. It's not.
Damn it. We need a new phone number.
They need to change that Wikipedia entry.
We actually have a phone number that ends with Indus.
Do we really?
Yeah, we do.
Why don't we use that?
Because it's Skype.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You can get us on Twitter as well. We are Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually, too. And that is Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
And let me think. We have a group on Facebook that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. Check us out on Cast Medium and VGEvo.com. And I think that about wraps it up. You guys have anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, man. Check out our stream Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Hopefully you'll be seeing some Bionic Commando 2 this week.
Ooh.
I still want to do that Vanquish. Oh, Bulletstorm sounds fun too. That's the demo though. I don't know.
So much stuff.
We have to pull 3 hours of the stream this week.
You know what? That Bulletstorm demo is really short, dude. We could probably get all three in.
True. Very true.
Probably get all three in.
Let's do it.
Cool. All right, that's Tuesday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Make sure you guys check it out. It is JustinTV/Indus. So be there and join us. We'll pull you on Skype and stuff if you're going to play with us as well, and it'll be fun. Good times.
All the cool kids are doing it.
That's right.
Why not you?
Cool. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace or on Cast Medium, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
Hey, I'm Jason. I didn't know how we did it.
I snuck it in real quick, like a gentleman.
Like a gentleman. That's right.
Just
play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.